Come on, open up your Bible, get your iPad out, get your phone out, and look at Hebrews chapter 1 real quick. Hebrews chapter 1. Want to just bring out a couple of thoughts from Hebrews 1. We'll read verse 1 through 4. If you don't have that with you, look on the screen behind me. It'll be there. Let's read. I love how it starts. God. Come on, say that with me. God. I love it at the beginning of a book that you got God in the middle of it all, right? God, who at various times or different times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Come on, who's the Son's name? What's His name?
Jesus.
That's right. He has in these last days spoken to us by Jesus, whom He, the Father, has appointed heir of all things. He appointed Jesus heir of all things, whom also He made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He's still talking about Jesus now, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Come on, Jesus is so much more better than the angels. Come on, everybody. So much more better than Gabriel or Michael. Come on, everybody. Come on. So much stronger. So much more. He has, by inheritance, it says, obtained a more excellent name. So there's something about the name. We sing that song. Guy's going to be singing that song here in the next couple weeks. It's a great song by Planet Shakers. Maybe you'd need to download it, called No Other Name. We're going to be singing it. It's amazing. It's an amazing song by Planet Shakers. And there's just something about that name, the name of Jesus, huh? That now God has given us that name that's above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Come on, help me out with it. In heaven, and earth, and under the earth. Under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen? Now it says here in verse 1, it tells us that God spoke through or to the prophets. He says, in various ways. We know some of the various ways by dreams and visions. Angels spoke. We hear direct communication from heaven. You know, God actually spoke to Jesus. We've heard that before, seen that before. God spoke to these prophets through burning bush. God spoke to Elijah once through a donkey. So really interesting thought for all of us to understand again that God is not limited, we could say, on how He can communicate to us. But He does say, for us to really understand, He has, in these last days, spoken to us, verse 2, by His Son. By His Son. So listen to me. There's lots of people that want to always talk about the dream or the vision. There's lots of people that want to talk about, you know, I've heard it over the course of years, and this angel came and talked to me. And I'm not negating any supernatural experience, and I'm not negating that at all. But I'm saying how God is going to speak to you mainly, almost 100% of the time, is He's going to speak to you through the person, Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. Come on, everybody, say the Word of God. Now, when you read this in verse 2, 3, and 4, it talks about seven things that now God has done to and for and with Jesus, and how we're going to see for a few moments how we are included in this as well. So come on, get your piece of paper out, get your phone out, write a few things down. I think they'll help us all tonight. So it tells us that, number one, that Jesus has been appointed heir of all things. Come on, say that out loud. Appointed heir of all things. He's heir of all things. That's exactly what it tells us here in verse 2. He appointed Him heir of all things. So Jesus is the rightful possessor of everything now. He's the heir of all things. He rightfully possessed and possesses everything that belonged to the Father. Rightfully. So, you know, a lot of times people, you know, and even Jesus had this whole dilemma that the people He was talking to could not equate Him with God. Could not see that He was God. And we need to understand that when we're talking about who God is, that we can see God by when we see Jesus. He is the appointed heir of everything. of everything. And so if you love God, you've got to love the Son of God. Right? So it's not like, well, I've got a problem with Jesus, but I don't have a problem with God the Father. No, you've got a problem with God the Father. They're the same. Now notice what Colossians 1:17 says. I know some familiar scriptures for some of us. It says, and He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things consist. So He's appointed heir of all things, He's before all things, and in Him everything consists. So if He's appointed the lawful owner and the lawful possessor of everything that the Father has, and He's before all things, and everything consists, one translation says, and is held together by Him, it'd be good for us to get to know Him, don't you think? I think so. But what's amazing about Jesus is that Jesus just doesn't receive this appointment from the Father for Himself only. But what's crazy to me about the Bible is that when you read it, you realize that everything Jesus did, He did it to be credited to our account. So now He is the lawful owner. He's appointed heir of all things. It tells us that. He's appointed heir of all things. But now notice what God does for you and me. You know the scripture. I say it all the time around here. Romans 8:17. And if we're children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Come on, everybody. He appointed Him heir of all things. And then Jesus, He says, oh, by the way, Father, by the way, I just want to kind of make sure that my children, my sons, my daughters, are the ones that are following me. I want to make sure that they're in on this too. So now we as sons and daughters are heirs of God, but we're joint heirs with Jesus as well. So we get to partake of the same grace, the same love, the same mercy. Come on, everybody. The same joy, the same assignment, the same power, the same provision as Jesus had. We're not appointed heir of all things. We're not. He is. But He says, I want you to share in my appointment. Wow. I'm so glad it wasn't me and it was Jesus. Because I was the kid that would just say, I'll take all the marbles for myself. Give me all the playing cards myself. Because in my little life as a little kid, I was real selfish. Thank God that He was appointed heir. And He says, now I want you to join me and be blessed like I'm blessed. Wow. Too good to be true. That's why it's called the gospel. Good news. It goes on to say, the second thing we see that happened here in this passage in Hebrews 1, it says, through whom God made the worlds. That's what it says about Jesus. So the writer of Hebrews is coming on the scene and he's saying, listen, I don't care what kind of angel appeared to you. I don't care what you think or what's happened to you, what kind of supernatural experience you've got. I'm trying to tell you, it's nothing. I don't care what anybody says, what kind of dream they had, what kind of vision they had. I'm telling you, this is all about Jesus, through whom God made the worlds. Through Jesus, God made the worlds. It tells us in Ephesians 3:9, that He created all things. God the Father created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16 says, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. Come on, say all things. All things were created through Him and for Him. Come on, through Him and now for Him. So He created all things. Through Him they were created. Now for them they are created. They're created. Through whom God made the worlds. I've been thinking about a thought for quite a while now that God must just be an amazing planner. You know, for me to sit down, I thank God for so many good people around the church that just really are strategic thinkers. I'm more of a visionary, but the methodical planning out step by step and looking at every single thing, how it intersects, I'm not real great at that. And some other people around me are. But it's amazing when I've been thinking over the course of many, quite a few months, just how God spoke this universe into being. And he just didn't, I think we read it in Genesis 1. It says, and God said, and it was so. And God's got the power of creativity in him. He's just a creator, so the creator can create whatever. But the creator just doesn't randomly create. There's thought involved. Thought. That this is going to be here, and this planet's going to be here, and these stars are going to be here, and these animals are going to be here, and these continents are going to be here, and these people are going to be here, and this air is going to be here, and this water is going to be here. And he thought through Jesus, God made all these worlds. God's a God of order. God's a God of structure. God's a God of discipline. And so let me just encourage you. If you're lacking order and discipline and structure in your life, I believe when you start bringing order back into your life and structure in your life and discipline in your life, I'm not talking about crazy. I'm just talking about you just want to flow with God, want to follow God, and want that working in your life, and want to build up the hedge of your life and a broken wall that's broken. You want it fixed. You want it working. You want your life to be successful. But the God who made the worlds, he wants to bring creativity in your life and release order into your life so that things that are out of order begin working again. They get functioning again. We were away, like I said, 2 days, and we came back in the house and don't know what happened, but we came home and the microwave doesn't work. Don't know what happened, but an outlet on the island doesn't work. Don't know what happened, but the outlet on the wall where it's, I don't know if it's a GFA or whatever, a fuse or something, it's out. And so Eric's going to help us, Quintero, he's an electrician, going to come over tomorrow. Don't know what happened. But you know what? When things are broke, you just don't go through life and go, I'm never going to use the microwave again. What? Come on, somebody say popcorn. What? But sometimes we go through life and things are out of order. Things get broken. And we just navigate our life around that which is broken. Can I tell you? God wants to bring order and wants to bring wholeness back in your life. Come on, somebody say amen. Amazing story. You know well. Feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children. John chapter 6. Before he did it, he went out and told the guys, find some food. Found the boy with the little loaves and fish. And then he said something really interesting. You might have bypassed it because it's so simple. Make the men sit down in companies, in groups of 50. Order. Order so that the miraculous can become working in your life. Why was it important to him? I don't know. But it was important. Bring order. When they got that, then the creative power of God began working and there was a multiplication. Let me just challenge you. Maybe an ingredient in your life that you need to just ask yourself, am I out of order? How do I get back into order? You ask that question to the Holy Spirit, he'll help you. The great Jesus will help you. Come on, everybody. Third thing that we see here from Hebrews chapter 1, is that Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. He's the brightness of God's glory. That's the third thing of seven here, the brightness of God's glory. The brightness in this translation actually means the reflection, the reflection. And it's really interesting, again, we remember the Old Testament, that God really hid himself, didn't he? He hid himself in a cloud, hid himself in fire, hid himself, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, as a cloud came down, God spoke out of that, nobody saw God, they heard the voice, God hid himself. God hid himself in the presence in the Ark of the Covenant, he hid himself. But now, it says that Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God. Jesus is the reflection of the glory of God. God is no longer hid. No longer hid. Now for us, when you think about a reflection, you know, you think about a mirror, you think about, and I don't know that Kimberly over the course of years in doing her makeup, like some of you ladies maybe can attest, she not only has the mirror that she's looking at, but now to do her face and the way she wants to, she's got a little another mirror there. Come on, somebody. And so she's holding that in one hand and she's doing this with the other hand. And what's happened over the years, you know, 31 years of marriage, you know, not often, but maybe she's had about 3 different mirrors just because either one's cracked or somehow over the years, just the reflection of the mirror, it just gets old. So you can't see clear. It's not that you shouldn't see clear, but you just can't see clear. And so there's things maybe, you know, in my life, as I look at that God, that Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, that if I am not reflecting the brightness of God to a lost and dying world, I've got to ask myself, why? Is there something in my life? Is there inadequacies in me? Do I feel bad about myself? Is there shame or guilt or fear? Have I entered into what, you know, for me, it was sin with gossip or envy or strife? And so really now the brightness, the reflection of God, I'm really not drawing anybody to God. I'm not, nobody wants to know anything about my life or who I'm serving. And I want to make sure that my life is clear and clean and holy and pure. That now I can reflect who Jesus really is. Jesus was the perfect reflection of God the Father. Amazing. And the Scripture tells us, look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. It tells us, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Come on, the same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, God says, I want you to reflect my glory as I reflected the Father's glory. The same glory. We're being transformed the same way. The fourth thing we see from Hebrews 1 is that Jesus is the exact image of God. We said a lot of this a moment ago, but He's the exact image of God. You know, when you want to find out what God would do, you look at the Gospels and you'd say, well, what did Jesus do? How did Jesus respond to repentant sinners? How did Jesus respond to needy people? How did Jesus respond to hurting, sick, or broken people? How He did it is exactly how God would do it. Exactly how. So how do we treat people who are going through tough times? Judging them, criticizing them, belittling them? We never find that in the Gospel. We never find that's the way Jesus did it, so that's not the way God would do it, so that's not the way we should do it. Jesus is the exact image of God. And so we find a scripture, again, that you know in John 14, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And it says there in verse 9, Jesus said, have I been with you so long when you have not known me, Philip? Man, I think Jesus was getting kind of ticked. Have I been with you so long, you don't know me? He who has seen me, come on, finish it, has seen the Father. So you can now say, show us the Father. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, He does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Have I been with you so long? Don't you get it? Wow. I think it kind of made him mad. But then now, Jesus reflecting the image of the Father. Now in John 17, that great prayer that Jesus prayed, longest prayer we have that He prayed, in verse 20 and 21, Jesus praying to the Father, He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, the disciples' word. Verse 21, that they all may be one, notice this, as you, Father, are in me, and I'm in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. So now, Jesus is the exact image of God. And so what does God want to do? That now that we've received the life of God, now we've received the goodness of God, now we've received salvation, we have the Savior living in us, now we are to show and demonstrate to a lost and dying world the exact image of God. Amen. Fifth thing, He's upholding all things by the word of His power. I love it. He's upholding all things by the word of His power. Psalm 29 verse 4 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." It goes on to say in Psalm 29, "The voice of the Lord breaks things, divides things, shakes things, strips things, and gives birth to things." Wow. The voice of the Lord. He's upholding all things by the word of His power, and His voice, His word, is going to break things. It's going to divide things. It's going to shake things. It's going to strip some things. It's going to give birth to some things. Come on, everybody. Praise God. Romans chapter 4, how we find that Abram and Sarah got that child. It says, "God, who calls things which do not exist as though they did." So we find out, again, this Jesus life, that Jesus just didn't, now, He's not just upholding all things by the word of His power, but now He gives us His word that is all powerful, and He encourages us and challenges us to speak, to say, to command, to unleash the power of His word over situations that need to be changed, need to be broken, something needs to be divided, something needs to be off you or off somebody that you love. And He says, take the word of God. So Jesus shows us how we're to speak to storms. He shows us how we're to speak to sickness. He shows us how we speak to demons. He shows us how we speak to mountains. The power of the word of God in your mouth. Not just Jesus, but now the believer who's made in His image and His likeness. God expects you to lift up your voice. Sixth thing, come on, just two more to go. You're doing real good. Sixth thing that Jesus did, we find here from Hebrews 1, is He purged our sins. Come on, say that with me. He purged our sins. Now, we all know what purging is. We all know that, what purging is. But He casts our sins, Old Testament says, in a sea of forgetfulness. He says, "I'm not going to remember them anymore." He's purged our sins. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. One translation says concerning this, He purged our sins, from Hebrews chapter 1. "When He offered Himself and accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt." Every guilt now has been ridden from your life. Every sin cleansed in your life. Because of Jesus, He purged your sins. No longer does He see you a sinner. He sees you as a child of God. He sees you as redeemed, ransomed. Come on, everybody. Come on. Separated from that sin. He calls you His own. So now see yourself that way. It tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 14, For by one offering, He has forever completely cleansed and perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Notice that. He purges our sins. One offering. By one offering, His life, His blood, He has forever and completely cleansed, and He's perfected us because we're being sanctified. Wow. Amazing. Now, what about us? What would this have to do with us? How would we can't purge anybody else's sins. We can't, this is what Jesus did, and we just get to be a part of it. How could we ever enter into that? Well, it's really interesting. From what it says in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Notice this. "Brethren, if any one of you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So he says, what do? We can't purge anybody's sin, but our job now as believers is to go on the highways and byways, go with our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and we preach the loving gospel to them so that sin and the power and shame of guilt will be broken off their life as they find Jesus Christ. We can't redeem them, but we bring them to the Redeemer. Come on, everybody. We can't free them, but we bring them to the freer. He purged our sins. Lastly, You listened real good. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Wow. As we are here tonight, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand in the Bible always talks about a place of honor where Jesus now is ruling. Notice what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 12 through 13. But this man, I love it what it says there, this man, capital M man, not a normal man, capital M man, Jesus the man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, verse 13, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Come on, I don't want him to wait much longer. How about you? So come on, I believe every enemy that rises up against us, every enemy that comes against our church, every enemy that comes against our community, every enemy that comes against our nation, as we pray and we believe God and we enter into His rest and we enter into intercession or whatever we need to do, that enemy comes down. It's like glory to God. It's just a little bit closer for Jesus coming back, everybody. Wow. So He's at the right hand of the Father. But notice, Jesus is amazing. Jesus doesn't just want to be at the right hand of the Father. Notice what He wants for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And then now what Jesus did, He made us alive, He raised us up, and now He seated, God seated us together in Christ at the right hand of God. You're not seated at the right hand of Jesus. You're seated in Christ's seating. Come on, everybody. He's not stressed. He's not frustrated. He's seated. He's victorious. So He sees you victorious. He sees you accepted. He sees you blessed. He sees you whole. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Jesus. That's why we worship Jesus. Everything He did, He did it, and He credited it to our account. Everything. He had you in mind for blessing. Had you in mind for acceptance. Had you in mind to live a holy life. Had you in mind to be sanctified. So the outworking of that in our life, we access the grace of God by faith. And the work we do is to challenge our mind, renew our mind to the fact that God just flat out loves me. He's committed to me. He wants me to succeed. He wants me to win in life. He wants me to be who exactly He's called me to be. So I just shake myself from everything that goes through my mind or what's happened in my past up until now. And I just get up every day and say, it's going to be a great day. Jesus is Lord. Come on, today all things are possible. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. I've been raised. I've been made alive. I'm seated with Him. What can't happen today? Come on, everybody. Wow. Bow your head right there. Father, it's been a good night being with You. Thank You for these amazing, amazing people. Thank You for an amazing church that we're allowed to be here and worship You. Thank You for our country, oh God. Crazy things going on in our country, but we believe in an amazing, awesome God. Turn our country, our heart of our kings and our presidents and our governors and our senators and our judges and our justice. Turn the hearts of leaders back to You, oh God. We pray. Father, Sunday's going to be an amazing day. Help us, use us, Father, to maybe bring some people to church with us, oh God, that need to know that Jesus is good, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is a fun God, a God to be loved and worshipped and adored. Father, we just give You thanks for it. in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, say amen and amen. Come on, stand up, everybody. Come on, stand up, say hey to the person next to you. Say you look better right now than you did when you came in. Come on, you look better right now. All right, we love you, we love you, we love you. Hey, if you want to give tonight, man, you guys are so faithful. If you want to give tonight...